Chris, I think we showed good restraint this morning.
I think so. It could be. Okay, here's what I was just thinking. So on ramp again, short on ramp, kind of focused on ramp to a degree. How often do we take the on ramp as a direct segue into the podcast? I don't know. It's like, I dare you, go back through every, start tracking back through all of our content. I don't know if we often do. I think we kind of allude to it. It all becomes teaser trailer, but we never really share. Like, we sort of share, but we like, okay, on to something else. I feel like this will be one of the first times that we're going to jump out of on ramp and talk a little bit about what the on ramp was about.
I also think we're doing that because our on ramp wasn't that risque today, right? Like, it was just the two of us just chatting about a recent vlog that you put out, and then that led us to talking about, as you said, habits, looking at them, being aware of them, and which is a really cool conversation, in my opinion. And now we're going to take it and we're going to drop it into the, like, into the school world. Mm-hmm. So you want to kick it off with your parking talk?
So I won't do the full long story, but it's, you know, at the heart of it, I'm still getting used to the fact that when I go to work, I can grab a parking spot. Like, so my previous life as a chef, there was no parking spot for me. I didn't have a restaurant where it was, like, you know, reserved for Chris Clough. Often I was actually getting into one of the mega parking lots for the TTC and then taking the subway down from Finch most times. You know, I took public transportation into the city. I would drive in, but I'd be parking at a Green Pea. There's no choice of parking. So the net effect of that is nobody really notices where you put your car. And the second effect of that is you don't really get into a groove of kind of specifics. Now, I will say, in those parking lots, it was nice when I could park closer to the terminal because it just meant I would have to walk through less weather at the heart of it. But all bets are off. Like, those places are busy, all different types of vehicles, you know, all different types of people going through there. So you get what you get and you don't get upset, as my kids would say. So one of the cool things about working at a school is that you can start to get these benefits. You can start to park regularly and there's lots of space, and you get used to being able to park close to your classroom or whatever your favorite door is. And for me, I've started to really examine what is about that comfort and other things that I consider comfortable that are a part of my habits at school. And it was just one of the examples, you know, that we shared in the on-ramp was yesterday I got to work really early, had to get some stuff done that had to do with school, but it just resulted with me being there probably about 30 minutes earlier than I normally would. And another staff member came in and with surprise said, "Oh, you're here." And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Well, did you park somewhere else in the parking lot?" Which I had. And now this past week, I've been parking in different places. This is a little bit of my habit breaking project. One, to get a different perspective on the school. Two, to sort of get a different perspective on my own habits. Here's a third part that I hadn't expected, though, is that my analysis, a reflection of my habits, could impact just my analysis and playing with my habits, how it could affect somebody else. Now, this is a really small example. Dude walked in, and it's not like he walked in and he was scared or saddened. He just noticed that my car wasn't where he had seen it the last time and assumed that I wasn't at the school. And then he walked in and there was some surprise. But that little example kind of maybe reinforces why it's good to examine your habits. I'll play easy with EDU. Don't even know if I'm prepared to do the same analysis for my personal life. That would just be so much more problematic. But my work life, like, what are some of the habits that are really, that I'm just in that groove and I don't even know I'm in the groove? That's one of those cool moments that I don't even know I'm in the groove. close with just one thing. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it was Malcolm Gladwell, and he's a pretty cool dude. He has a really interesting podcast, Revisionist History, but he was actually being interviewed on another podcast, and he was talking about how he really enjoys the moment when his apple cart is turned over. And what I think what he was addressing in that context was where his sense of what he was doing and his understanding creates a bit of a mess. It sort of is just, and you have to sort of pick up the pieces and kind of put it back together in a specific configuration. And in doing so, you start to realize, you know, the efficiencies and deficiencies in your style. I've learned unequivocally this past week that there are, like, the things that I just noticed by coming in different school doors and the people that I've met, I think has kind of, it changed my week. And I'll give some examples afterwards. But I will say that had I parked in the same parking spot that I always do, which normally had been, if I looked out my classroom window, I can see my car right there. It's 100 feet away. Every day, every point of the day when I'm in that particular class, I can check in and say, oh, good, my car's still out there. Which, again, I'm not addressing any safety factor, but there's something about that comfort. There's a familiar thing in a spot where I left it. It's going to be there when I go out at the end of the day. Boom, the day's done. So there's my my habit. I want to give it some cool name, but it's just my habit experiment.
You should give it a cool name.
That'd I'll be try. Cool. I'll figure out something.
Well, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about the staff room. And mm-hmm. how I've been in there lately. The past couple of weeks, I've gone in there, you know, 3 or 4 times to eat. And it's still, I'm sorry. I feel like it's an intimidating place for me still. I'm not sure why. I mean, when I come in, people welcome me. It's funny, eh? I feel weird sitting at certain tables with certain people just because I have a feeling that maybe I will disrupt their flow. Why do I care? I don't know. I just, maybe I'm being a little bit sensitive to their needs or whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. But so I walk in, and it's been really cool that the 3 or 4 times I've walked in, I've evaluated the situation. I look and I'm like, okay, there's like 5 tables. Okay, what's going on here? Who's sitting there? So what I've been able to do with some awareness is to sit at different tables with different people.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was invited to come sit at a particular table, but I felt bad because when I entered into the room, there were 3 tables being used. One table had a lot of people at it, and there was a lot of chatter at that table. And then the 2 other tables, at one, there was only 1 person, and at the other, there was like 2 or 3 people, and there wasn't much chatter amongst these tables. So when I walked in, they're like, hey, come sit over here with us. And I said, oh, thank you, but I think I'm going to sit here today. And I sat at the table with the 1 other person because I felt like I didn't feel right about what was happening. And I was appreciative that I was being welcomed, but it didn't feel right because the person that was sitting at the table by themselves were looking down into their food. Hmm. And I don't know about everybody else, but sometimes I just do that because I'm not comfortable with what we're talking about or who's in the room. And so I just focus on my food, and there's a lot of self-talk going on there. And actually I'm feeling kind of good talking about this right now, because if I'm feeling this, other people are feeling this 100%. So I felt bad for the person sitting by themselves because I didn't know, had they been invited over to that table? Were they already in the room when that table was being created? I don't know. So I said, I'm good. I'm going to start here. And then I got a little bit of, oh, he thinks he's too good for us, the joking. And I was just like, what I wanted to say was, I really need you to be quiet, because if you keep pushing me, I'm just going to open my mouth and I'm going to say, thank you very much for inviting me, but this person's sitting by themselves. So I was thinking maybe I'd sit with them, maybe chat with them, see how their day is going, get to know them maybe.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like,
I don't want to say that out loud. Right? But you might push me into saying that. And then I feel bad because I've been invited to sit somewhere, but I'm not sitting there. So they're thinking, is he not like us? Is he not good enough for us? There's so much BS going on in my head when this is happening, right? Which is reason number 52, why I don't even want to eat in there. But that's a whole other, that's my issue, not theirs. What happened yesterday was really cool. So I came in yesterday And there was a couple of people at all the tables. So I just sat at the table with my back against the wall, kind of like a safety thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's a safety issue, just I needed to be able to see the room, have my back against the wall. So I went and I did that. And that was okay. There were two people there. And this is the thing, I don't have a habit yet in the room. I'm just going in there sitting where I want. So I'm probably sitting in somebody's seat, but it's okay because I don't mind. And then halfway through my meal, a teacher walked in and sat at a table. And then like a minute later, everybody at the table had to leave. Like the bell rang, they got up, they left. And she said out loud, uh-oh, now I'm sitting all by myself. So I said, hey, listen, I'm getting up to get some water. I'll just sit at your table. She's like, oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Like she just said it right out loud. So I got up, I went and got my water, and then I sat down at that table and we chatted for a few minutes, and then I got up and I left. And it was really cool. It was nice. It doesn't always feel that good in that room. And I don't know why, because I'm new there, probably. Nobody's mean. Nobody's like, it's not a poisonous environment that I could tell, but I'm just not, it's not part of my habit to go in the staff room and eat with people. I usually go in the teacher workroom. I eat in there. I start working. But I think it's nice every now and again to actually talk to other people. So I've been doing that. But it's now you got me going. Now I want to at least twice for the next 4 weeks before Christmas comes, I would like, or next 3 weeks, I would like to go in the staff room and try to sit in different spots just to see the reactions and then to challenge myself on whether I'm going to open my mouth and let my thinking come out or not. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think one of the fascinations in this process. So if we're talking about social habits, take that as kind of like the frame for this. You know, how many times have we heard the conversation around something around the trade-off between using digital and meeting people in real life? And that idea, often it's focused at the kids, like go and do something as opposed to sitting there and tapping something. And, you know, I saw one time in the park this past summer, the kid with the parent sitting on a bench, and the kid has a device, and the parent said, you know, the parent said something to the effect of, you know, when I asked you to come to the park, you know, I thought that you would play in the park. And the kid point blank said, I am playing in the park. So I was next bench over. My kids are running, screaming. So I don't even know where they are, actually. Like that's actually what happens often when we go to the park. Excuse me, it's kind of a dangerous conversation because if we meet up there, this actually, now that I realize it happens a lot, I'll go somewhere like a park or a play place and my spouse will roll up, you know, where the kids, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. They're somewhere, they're over there screaming, playing somewhere. So my kids in the park are off playing somewhere. This kid, the next bench over, technically is playing in the park. They're just playing on a device. They're not necessarily interacting with the, you know, the humans in the group. And it gets me thinking about I'm not going to make this as a, because the kid is using a device, they're, how do I do this? I'm not going to make it the sort of the debate between we were becoming worse at relationships because we use devices. Cause you and I have had a ton of conversation around how, technology can lead to really cool and connected places, right? So there's an element of first, let's rejig what the 2.0 version of friendships are. And then we can have a conversation around how technology is not actually getting in the way. It's still the person getting in the way, right? It's still the person making decisions to sort of be in one place or the other. So where I go back to on this is go into a staff room and I have found I see a hotbed of individuals that, you know, I wonder, do they know a lot of things. Do they know how to get over, what's the word? How do they get over the whole someone, another individual is in the room and they really should say hello to them? You know, like, and like that, like, even if you're going to choose to be on your device or read a newspaper, how do you satisfy some of the social norms, even to a meager level, to acknowledge that someone new has just come in the room? The staff room at our school is in a little bit of a strange space. It's off to one of the farthest kind of corners of the school. Like, it seems to be a, if space is always at a, you know, high needs for space in our schools to try and find, you know, any room to do something, activity or otherwise. But I just thought to myself, this staff room is way off in a corner. So it's not in the center flow where people would naturally always pass by. For example, our library is right in the main foyer of the school. You're going to pass by the library multiple times during the day. It strikes me that putting the staff room off in a corner, you're decreasing the likelihood that you're going to have varied people coming in. So the social structure changes. Is it convenient to go from, for example, one of the classrooms that would be at 11 o'clock, two floors up in a school, and to go all the way across down one floor at 5 o'clock on the dial to the staff room? So there's some people that choose just to stay away from that space. But I've found, even with that, you know, that being a truth about my current school, I still wonder when I go into that space, what it is that motivates people and what it is that keeps people, is demotivated a word? Let's say demotivate, what demotivates people to even look up and see that the door has opened? Like, does it not seem like there's some rewiring going on somehow, that at a primal level, that if there's movement at your periphery or behind you, you would take a look? You don't do that, or you do, you're shaking your head no. Is there, it's because this is the thing that I'm finding, going into public spaces and nobody looks up.
It depends on your context. If you're in a place and you're feeling completely uncomfortable, you're either shutting down,
right,
or being 100% more aware. It's one or the other. Like, when I, so those days that I'm in the room,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sitting at a table and I'm sitting with someone I don't know or I'm uncomfortable talking to,
yep,
the door's going to open and close 1,000 times. There's going to be people all around me. I'm looking down, dude. I'm eating or I'm on my phone on purpose because I don't want to talk to anybody because I'm either too nervous or just don't feel good about what's going on, but I'm in that position anyway. It's those awkward moments where I don't know about you, but I either decide to bust it out or to not. It's always the same for me. I walk into a room, committee meeting, staff meeting, divisional meetings. We've had 3. I've not said a word. I literally walk in, I find a seat, I sit down, and I listen. I don't say a word. And I know for some people, they're like, what? What do you mean you're not? I don't say a word. I'm in a weird space. So I'm highly aware in that moment. I'm just not comfortable. I'm not comfortable at all. So yes, it's possible, very possible. And then there are other times where I'm acutely aware of what's happening around me. I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's, I like the, because even as you're saying, and I get, you and I have talked in bits and pieces around, you know, that what you just mentioned, you know, not saying a word, saying something, wanting to say something, waiting to say something. Like, there's all the, I get all those sort of layers to it. And I'm not looking at it from the point of view that by default, everyone should be gregarious in common places. I think that common places mean that anyone can be there and use it according to their needs. I'll start with that. I'm looking at the moments where, to be honest, I'm starting with what's keeping me from approaching someone. So I'll center it on me, not why someone wouldn't approach me. So if I go into a staff room and if I know about me, so what you've just expressed is not me. I'm not like that. I tend to if I'm in a space, let's say I'm meeting, from the moment I walk in, I will start to talk and sort of say things like, I'll right away, whether or not I'm actually formulating anything. I get into that social space and I will start reaching out. I guess I'm less, what's the word? I don't measure it very quickly. I just say, okay, my brain goes social space, start socially connecting. And I've made missteps on that end where I should have listened a little bit longer. Maybe I should have paid a little more attention, especially joining new committees. Is always a fascinating space to start asking questions. I can talk about that after, because that was something this past week as well. I wonder about what's my pattern of behavior in this space right now. And this is the thing with the whole parking, analyzing what would I normally do when I walk into this space? And should I do that again? Or should I try and switch it up a little bit? So playing with that part of my decisions led me to coming in different doorways. Coming in different doorways led me to connecting with two different LTO teachers that are in our school right now, because they were actually in their going to their office spaces. I wouldn't have even known, I have to be honest, I wouldn't even known that they were someone that was necessarily on our staff for an extended period of time. Yesterday we had a staff luncheon. So a good number of staff came out. You put some money into the pot and there was sort of two different people that cooked two different dishes. It was good. It was a good feel. At that staff luncheon, one of the two LTOs were there and they were sitting at a table way off, like off away from all the conversation. So there was the different huddles of people having conversation. And it was funny because of that risk of me, at risk, the decision for me to sort of come in different doors, it resulted in me meeting one of these LTOs. And the LTO was sitting there. And because the LTO wasn't on the email list of invitees, because this was taking place in the staff room. So I tried to imagine that. There's this event that they wouldn't have even necessarily have known was going on. 40 or 50 staff members start coming into the staff room and start setting up a table of buffet food. And you're sitting there watching this play out. And I had to think to myself, is that person wondering, should I leave? Like, is this an exclusive thing? Like, is it like the inside outside measurement really started to rattle me a little bit. I started thinking about what would this person be feeling looking in a space like this, not knowing that there's this, and obviously everyone's having fun. Maybe they even recognize some people, but those people are sitting with their other staff friends. So I told one of the people flat out, they were close to the group that we were at. I'm like, do you want me to get you a plate? And I kind of thought, I don't give a damn. They didn't chip in, but I'm going to get them something. I had made a dessert to bring in. I said, and they're like, nah, I have my sandwich. I'm like, okay, we have to try the dessert I brought in. Let me bring you one of those. And they said, okay, thank you. Now, I was shifting from there, and one of my colleagues were going to have a kid meeting, a student meeting. So there wasn't the time to still sit and stay, but I felt like in that moment, there was a positive impact in messing with my habits. And I learned something new. Like there was something that I can add into it. And now this person, I can name them in the hallway. I can see them, they can be seen. And this is, I think, part of the habit breaking, a really simple one, but there was definitely value to sort of getting outside of what would normally be, I'll call it a comfort zone. And my hope is that now this becomes a person that I can see more often. Like I'm actualizing something where I want to make more connections in the school. Even if I do feel like, I don't know if this is, it's a 47-year-old thing. Do I need more friends? You know, you sort of do that like, like I love the example you're talking about, you know, what you do when you leave school as dad. I mean, you're with your family, you're sort of chilling, kind of relaxing, you're sort of recouping, gathering, all these sort of things. And then you'll have other staff members that, or other people in your world that are like, really, where's the party around that? Like it's that different context, right? So in that little switch up, shared some dessert, met a new person, got a little bit of empathy injection. Like, what would it be like that person watching the party going on, but they're not in on it? And I think there was something satisfying to learning something about myself in that, but also saying there's value in pushing outside the bubble a little bit. And I think this
statement.
Sorry, and I think this is probably one of the easier examples to play with right now, because I didn't have to do much in my measure to learn a lesson. I will tell you there are other things that I'm going to be looking at next week that I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to sort of, it's not going to be as simple to start switching these things up. Part of the way that I do there's some things that I want to switch up. I'm looking at my lesson planning in communication with parents. So some sort of bigger structural pieces that won't be as agile and as immediate in seeing, like, that was a 24-hour turnaround. And when you're looking to change habits or play with your habits a little bit, I will say for sure, there's very few of them that you get any satisfaction within 24 hours. So sorry to step on your words there.
No, no problem. I was just going to say, we were talking before about, being asked by the people on staff, a couple of people on staff who are much younger and don't have a family yet, the same way I do, what does your evening look like? And I said, well, after work, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to pick up my kid, take him to hockey. And they said, well, what do you do at hockey? I said, well, I'll talk to the parents. I'll watch the hockey. I'll talk to the parents. I might see other teachers I know who are at the rink. And they're just looking at me like they're waiting. Okay, what next? Like, what happens next? Well, next then we go home and hopefully I eat dinner. And then I probably waste an hour of my life just hanging out. Like, I might play video games with one of my kids. I might bother the other one, bother my wife, whatever. And then the kids go to bed and I go to bed. And they still got the same look on their face, like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm out. 9:30, 10, I'm out. I wake up the next day and do it all over again. And I remember the same conversation being had with staff members when I started my career, 17, 18 years ago. I remember hearing these people talk about going to the rink or the soccer field, whatever it was, the dojo, and looking at them like, okay, that's where it's at now. That's it. And it's, I have to say, 98% of the time when I'm at the rink, I'm loving every minute of it because I'm watching my son do something. I'm watching my son interact with other people. I'm watching him grow and develop as a person. I wanted to say, I know I've been talking about my one son who plays hockey a lot. I've not been talking about my other son. My other son's playing soccer every Monday night, and I don't always take him because I'm kind of the hockey parent. So my wife takes my other son to soccer, but I try to get out to his soccer games if my other son doesn't have hockey. And I enjoy watching him too. Like, just, so this is what I do for fun. Okay. You ready for this? It's a good one. So not last Monday, because he wasn't feeling well, the Monday before, we're in the car, we're driving to soccer. This is my life, people. And I'm talking with my son and I'm like, are you excited about today's game? Not really. I don't really want to go. He'd rather sit in front of the Xbox and play Fortnite. But I said, no, well, we're on our way to soccer. So I'm like, well, let's make it interesting. You're going to try to score a goal? He's like, sure. What do I get? I'm like, you score a goal, I'll get you a McDonald's. Oh, he's like, okay. What if I score two goals? I said, if you score two goals, I'll get you McDonald's and I'll give you $25. And now he's like, what? And I'm just driving, big smile on my face, because I don't really, he's always playing video games or I'm always doing something and we need to connect.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that. We need to connect. So then he says, well, what about three goals? I'm like, three goals, you get $50 and McDonald's or fast, whatever. I'll buy you food. Doesn't, whatever. He's like, okay. So we get there and now, like, I'm totally into this soccer. He's like bouncing off the walls. We start the game, in the first 2 minutes, he scores a goal. And he kind of looks at me and gives me one of these. And yeah. I'm like, bring it on. Like, let's go. So then he had two other really good chances, didn't score. And then the half came and they put him in the net for the second half. And I think he was really bothered about that because, you know, we didn't talk about what would happen if he was in goal. And that was a whole other story. But that's my life. Like, that's what I'm doing. And then here's really cool stuff is in the odd time where we can get a babysitter, my wife and I'll go out for dinner together alone. And the best part about that is that we'll eat at like 6, but we'll be home by 8. We can't even stay out.
Can I just pause on that for a moment?
Yeah.
I want to land on that just for a moment. Cause we were I was saying yesterday. So yesterday I was at work and someone was saying, oh, so you know, today's your birthday. Yesterday was my birthday.
Thank you.
You know, any of the listeners. So, you know, the my colleagues are like, so like, is there anything fun planned? I'm like, well, my wife told me, you know, you should be home. Like we need to be somewhere by 5 o'clock. So I had to zip home from work, get the kids, kind of get ready. We were going out as a family and they're like, well, what do you think you're going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I said, but you know, there is something in me that I'm hoping that we're done by 7 so that we can make it back home and do family movie night, like just to be able to kind of relax. Right. And they looked at me, same look that you were talking about, like the younger staff, like really your birthday party day ends at 7 PM. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that, you know, even to the point of we got home last night. We went out for dinner. We decided that we were going to pick up some dessert and bring it home. So the kids had dessert. I didn't really make it to it. I had part of one. We all sit like in the TV room and I'm asleep. I fall asleep. Family movie credits are scrolling up on Netflix. I'm like, kids, did you like the movie? So I totally get the whole, like, it's cool when you can make it home at a decent hour. I can't even believe I said the word decent hour. It's so old timey and dad style, right? But you make it home and you can sort of be, put on your comfy clothes and just kind of relax. Like there's something nice to it. Kids in bed by 8:30. Yeah.
I don't have the kids in bed by 8:30.
Yeah. Mine are creeping up. It is creeping up, but you say you're home by 8. I jumped in when you said home by 8. So why is that a good thing for you?
It's just because then you still have some time that you're going to get to yourself.
Right.
You're still going to have some downtime. And don't get me wrong, it's fun going out and having dinner, the two of us, but we don't have anything else to do. I remember not recently, but well, maybe recently. Yeah. Okay. So we had one really awesome babysitter, but she's much older now and she's in university. And we realize she would come over. Here's the funny thing. So she would come over. She would watch the kids from like 5:30 to 8, and then her night was just starting.
Yeah.
So I remember like when we say, are you available? She's like, yeah, I'm available. What day? What time? And she's like, okay. And she'd say like, you just need to make sure, can you be home by 10? Because I'm going to be going out with my friends. We're like, 10, I'm out. Like I'm done. So I'm like, yeah. So think how awesome that is for her. We get home, we pay her. And I think we're relatively generous because we understand she was really great babysitter and the kids loved her and she loved our kids. My wife had taught her when she was in grade 3 and there's a familiarity, there's a trust, and my wife knows her family. Like it's the ultimate awesome feeling you get when you know who's watching your kids is like a great person that comes from a good family.
Yes.
So we get home, we pay her for her time and she's like, I'm okay. And she literally, I'm like, what are you up to now? She's like, I'm going out with my friends. I'm like, awesome. Sweet dreams. I'm going to bed. You do your thing. Now the new babysitter we have, she's in grade 9. So she's not living the same life, but we have had her over for an evening session so that we could go out together and the kids would have somebody relatively responsible watching them. Mm-hmm. And she's in a different position. She's not probably going out, you know, late night on a Saturday or whatever, but we make sure to pay her generously because if we were only paying them for 2 hours, they'd probably not want to come back anymore.
Yeah.
They think it's not really worth my time. So we have to make it worth their time. And we used to say, okay, well, we're done. Should we go to chapters now? So we might go to chapters and peruse, or we might go to like one of those, my wife really likes those, like Marshalls and Winners and stuff. So
yep.
Instead of going straight home after dinner, we would go to one of those places and kill another hour to get home and be able to justify having gone out. That's where I'm at. I mean, this is where I'm at. I podcast the Saturday mornings with my buddy Chris because it does something for me and my work. So that's cool. I have other little side projects, as you know, but really I'm driving kids or I'm doing house stuff or hey, I waste time too. I procrastinate and I sit around, and I play video games too. That's kind of like my way to debrief or to waste time. I'm not always planning lessons and stuff. That's just my life, right?
Here's a dad question. Dad to dad. So I can tell. So you mentioned Fortnite before. I'm trying to figure out. So my son is, so Jake is slowly creeping more into wanting to play video games. He's diverse. We're keeping them. Both kids are diverse. And I'm trying to, it's funny. I don't game nearly as much as I used to. I don't make it to it. There's games that I would like to play, but I know that some of the content, I'm not quite sure I want to introduce it to either one of my children. So a lot of the games that they have, like I have an Xbox One that's set up in the basement here with a TV that the kids often will also let watch Netflix on. And like they're playing like Rayman, and I bought Banjo-Kazooie. Like they have a lot of the games that are like the classics, right? Some of those old ones that they'll report, and Xbox has some pretty good ones. What was the other one? Crash Bandicoot. I bought the trilogy of that and they've been playing it. So I haven't stepped into the ones that have any of the darker kind of content. Some of the stuff that I've enjoyed playing in the past, which is, you know, I do enjoy some of the, like the horror gaming genre. I dig those ones. And some of the ones where there's shooting and, you know, all the stuff that sort of starts the conversation of do violent video games, you know, what's wrong with violent video games. So here's my question to you. I'm trying to wrap my head around the big picture of Fortnite. Now I've watched some of the sessions on Twitch. I know there's a whole there's cultural explosions that have come out of that, out of Fortnite in itself, let alone I think didn't the whole like flossing dance kind of somehow it's connected. Okay. So what is it? So what my first question is, what are the games when you play games? Are you playing games with your kids? Or are you playing games on your own?
Video games?
Yeah.
My one son, he and I will play against each other. That's the son that's not playing Fortnite.
Okay. So the what games?
Usually it's a sports game, football or hockey.
Gotcha. And have you played Fortnite?
I've played a couple of times, and I usually don't last very long because I mean, number one, I'm not familiar. I'm not fluent with the controls.
Right.
I don't know the controls. Therefore, my reaction time slower. I die faster. And usually when I'm playing on my son's, like I'm like, give me the controller. I want to play. Mm-hmm. So he's playing with his friends. So all of a sudden I go rogue. I can hear his friends yelling, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, my dad's here. It's my dad. You know, like, watch the language, and my dad's playing. Don't worry. He won't be here long type of deal. That's kind of what it's looked like.
It's funny. I can remember. So I used to really love, I still do love the game, the Borderland franchise. Did you ever see that one? So Borderland was out before. Did you ever play Destiny? Or hear about Destiny? So it's like an open Borderlands, how would I describe it? Like Mad Max. That's my best way to sort it. So the whole concept of Mad Max, this idea that there's like this post-apocalyptic future, you have different kind of towns and cities and villages that you can kind of pillage, but you're kind of going across this kind of wasteland kind of setup. So this is Borderlands, right? And I was always more of a campaign gamer. Like I was never playing online, despite the fact I've been gaming forever. Like I don't have a headset for my game system to be able to even interact in the community. I had one time where I played Borderlands, where, and it's like you can level up your character, you know, different weapons, different resiliences, you know, it's the whole D&D, the whole Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing. Build a character, build your character up to a certain level, go into the adventures, and then, you know, you're it's not even about necessarily about the campaign or the story anymore. It's just about how much can you accumulate. So I tried that once. I had been playing in the campaign long enough that I thought that I had leveled up my character to a reasonable amount, like a fairly robust character. So I dropped into one of the games, and it was crazy. Like, I think there was probably 20 people all playing in this space, and it totally, I don't even, as best as I could describe it, is that, okay, so I've done, you know, I told you, like, I did the 2 years with Access. I've done these niche spaces in teaching. I've had students get really upset at me for decisions, supportive decisions, student success decisions. I've had students tell me, you know, you've ruined my life, Clough, like, just, and all these sort of things that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be a part of teaching. I've had kind of those things happen. So I drop into this community of gaming, and what I wasn't expecting was, like, I was just being sworn at for 10 minutes straight. Every single person that kind of walked up to me and would sort of say something, it would start off with, like, some sort of where did you come from? But everything was salt and peppered with an F-bomb and a whole lot of, like just macho blather. It was so distracting, to the point where I just left my character. You know, when you don't make your character move anymore, it starts to kind of, like, the characters, like, do some sort of a dance. Like, they're reminding you, like, hey, it's the screensaver of the video gaming world. It's like, hey, you should do something. I just sat there and I watched my character dance, and people keep on coming up and shooting me. And then it would respawn and shooting me and then respawn. So it's funny. I don't have this often when I talk with the students about, you know, that I'm a gamer. I have a hard time. Like, it's not even like I'm not as current in my gaming as I used to be. But so often students will say, what's your gaming handle? You know, we can drop in together. And I'm just like, I don't know. I like that, though, that your son's like, yo, it's my old man. Watch your language.
Well, sometimes I say, tell them now, because I don't want to hear it. Just tell them I'm here. I don't want to hear it. Or I'll go downstairs to, he's really entering into the teenage phase of, like, mm-hmm. He basically owns the basement now. The couch down there is pretty much ruined. It used to look like a couch. Now it looks disheveled. There's plates down. Like, it's not good, dude. It looks like... It looks like university down there.
Yeah, say no more. I totally get the image. Yeah,
I get down there for whatever reason to collect something or to talk to him, and I'm like, tell your buddies to lay off for a minute. I need to talk to you. The best is when. So maybe I shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share this because it's funny anyway. Yesterday was the first time, and happy birthday, by the way. I know I wished you happy birthday yesterday, but it's December 1st too, man. We've entered into a new realm in the teaching world.
Yes.
Where people can see the light of a holiday break.
Yes.
For me, it's Christmas. For you, it's just the holidays. And I had to
throw that. No, I'll declare it. No, that's good. That's good. I'm a secular celebrant, but I will... I have, we talked about this time last year. This time last year, I remember one of the cool moments. I think one of the really cool moments, we've had a lot on this podcast, but one of the cool moments, I think, where you and I were talking about, it was a little bit about resiliency. It was a little bit about empathy. It was a little bit about building better character. And you were coming at it from the point of view of Catholicism and the steps within Advent and sort of building, your connection to the people around you and considering your own self within it. And you were bringing the Catholic perspective, and I was bringing we were building some care and critical structures within when I was back in Access, and looking at how do we build better kids outside of that, sort of like when, if we're looking at it just as character building, and you are bringing the religion part of it is, and like we have some really cool tools and rules that help you become a better person. So I've always been, always had my sort of my handle on the spiritual elements. So I will call it Christmas, and I hope you will not take offense if I think of it as my version of Christmas.
Awesome. I'm going to switch back if that's okay.
Do it.
We haven't gone out for dinner as a family in a while. Usually we do that on Friday evenings. We get home from school. One of our family members picks where we're going for dinner. We go. Yesterday we had no hockey. We had no other things going on. I get home because now I'm the one who gets home later. And I'm like, are we going? My wife says, we're going. So my youngest gets his gear on, him and I. As we're going out to the car, my wife is saying to my older son, turn off the Xbox. We're going for dinner now. And he's like, just give me a minute. It's always a minute, which turns into half an hour. He's like, I'm in the middle of something. She's like, we are leaving for dinner. I told you. And it's the same thing. It's the same friggin' thing every time. We told you half an hour ago. We gave you warnings. So my wife comes out. And I'm like, okay, we're all in the car and we're waiting for him. And I said, so how long are we going to give him? She's like, give him a minute. Then my wife leans over and honks the horn because I'm in the driver's seat. He opens the door, makes a gesture, and like yells something. My wife's like, I'm done. She gets out of the car, goes back in the house, comes outside with the Xbox. It's now been removed. Pops her trunk, puts it in the trunk, closes the trunk, gets in the car. He comes out and he's like livid. What did you do that for? I was coming. She's like, not fast enough. So then we get in the car and we drive to dinner. And the drive to dinner was okay. And then we get home. This is, I got to give you the full picture, right? We get home. My wife and I are gassed, right? This is, we got the Fridays. That's what we call them. We're just out of gas. We got nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess at dinner, he had negotiated with his mom to get the Xbox back. We get home, she pops the trunk, gives him the Xbox. I go upstairs, and immediately I sit down and I just turn on the PlayStation. I just want to play some NHL hockey. I just want to debrief. And then my youngest son had to practice his shot, so we went in the garage. We did that for a bit. Then as I was preparing, like getting them ready for bed, I heard them fighting downstairs. So I went downstairs and I said, what are you guys doing? They're fighting. So I instantly grabbed the Xbox controllers. Now my son's like, great. So long story short, they both go to bed. This morning, my one son woke up a little early and comes into my room and I'm awake. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because I'm awake, but I can't use any technology because you guys have taken it all away from me. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you don't function in a family. So go back to bed because you could sleep for another hour easily. So he disappears and I come in here to do this. That's my life right now.
Dad life.
Dad life.
Hashtag, you know what?
Dad life.
Yeah, dad life. It's, you know, the very similar stuff playing out here. So my, you know, both my kids will, when they're, as far as the bringing in the big sort of like changes, like unplugging things and putting them somewhere else, my kids are still like, they'll still respond to the word. And it's like, okay, you guys are done. Opposite corners. You know, it's like ding, 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 ding. You got opposite corners. You're going to breathe this one out. You two need some alone time. You need some downtime. It'll be interesting moving forward because I was saying to a friend yesterday, saying that I'm starting to see them really becoming two different people. And you think problems pop up when they think they're the same person and they're not getting what they're wanting you know, I'm starting to see the different character emerging in both the children and how that's going to create, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's just funny. I'm starting to see how different my kids are, despite the same things that they argue about. Because that's what it was kind of like 5 years ago. Maybe you can remember the same thing. That when your kids had an argument, you would assume that they're arguing about the same thing. Even if it's about the controller in front of them, that it's about the controller. What I'm starting to see is that their perspectives on what they're arguing is actually what's making them upset. and you're just like, oh, okay, I'll spend some time trying to figure that part out. So the whole, I love how the, you know, unplugging the video game is that's a great diffusion. Like that's a whole bucket of water on a hot situation. Will you come back to it and talk it out afterwards? Or is it just like, where you just needed to have it stop and that's it? Because I totally get, because the Friday night, I totally get what you're saying on Friday night. You're just like, I just want the sound to stop. I want all the sort of like the stuff that's happening up here to come down to here right now. And if it means I can unplug that unit, the thing that's energizing it, I totally get that. Because I'm trying to think forward what that looks like returning to that conversation when you go in as the parent and you sort of pull the parent card, that trump card, and you're just like, boom, I can do this thing because I'm the parent.
I tend to use that a lot, and so I've worn out my parent credit card, I guess you could say.
A little frayed on the edges.
Yeah. There was no talking after. I just took the controllers and I said, let's go, we're going upstairs. And it's funny because this morning before I started the podcast, I grabbed the controls and I put them in a central location so that when he does get downstairs, he can see that he has his controllers back.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping them. I made my point. He got it. I don't need to take it to the next level, which I'm famous for doing anyway. So I've probably thrown him off. He's probably like, oh, the controllers are in plain sight. I wonder if this is a trick. Did Dad leave them here to see if I can continue, like, can I grab him and go? Or do I show him that I've got some restraint? I'm like, I don't care. They're there. You can use them if you want. I mean, I haven't said that to him. And I know he's up because I heard him, but.
I like that. I like you leave a little social experiment, something, something in motion. I like that. My kids will respond with confusion as well. With the, is it okay? Or can we, were you supposed to, cause you said we couldn't use it. The assumption that if I do leave a thing that I've taken away out, that they, I like the question whether or not they should jump back into it.
Chris, I'm cognizant of the time and I know you have to go. So I want to say just a three more short things and do then it. We're out if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
The first one is my son went and saw Santa this week and I got prop Santa said nice things about my beard. Number two, I'm loving that you're growing yours out. I'll wait and see how long you go. You're probably going to tell me you're not doing it on purpose. Whatever. I don't believe you.
I will say I'm over the hump. Okay. There's that interesting hump. So it's now in the space where I bought the beard oil. So just throw it. Yeah, yeah. There we go. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then the third thing is this week I'm going to do my best to try to capture different spaces in the staff room. And I'm going to try to record on video some of my experience. So hopefully by the end of this week, I will have created some type of vlog involving the staff room. And I'm going to see, I might get beat up because people will see them recording and they might not like that. We're going to see what happens. I don't know. And it could be a vlog reflection this week where it's just music and footage, no talking. Because I don't think some of the people I work with are ready to have me turn on my camera and start talking in that space, in their space. And they may be talking about things that if they found out was being recorded, they'd be very upset. And I don't want to do that. But we'll see if I can do something creative with this week.
I'll ask people about where they're parking. I want to find out if they've been, because the school that I'm at is only 5 years old. And if someone's been parking in the exact same spot for 5 years, I'll go dark on it. What haven't you learned about your school by parking in the same spot for 5 years? I'm going to ask the questions. I'm not going to record, but I'll get some pieces on it. Dude, okay. Thanks for chatting, man.
No problem. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll talk next week.
Yep, for sure. Take care.
Okay. See ya.